message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
For now, the veil has been taken away. We can now see Him face to face. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for this. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, Father. Lord, we'll give you praise. Lord, we'll give you praise. Thank you for the awesome things you're doing. Thank you for that which you have done and for that which we are yet to see. We say thank you. We'll give you praise for this. In Jesus' name, we're giving thanks. Come on, celebrate the music ministers. Come on, celebrate them. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hallelujah forevermore. Let's be seated. Glory to God forevermore. Amen forevermore. All right. This first step is right. Okay. Say this after me. I have understanding. My mind is illuminated. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly affirm that I'm a doer. I am a doer. And I'm blessed indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I want to begin a new series with us today. It's going to be an 8-part teaching. Now they've reduced my preaching time to 45 minutes. So, you have to run with me at the speed of light. Amen forevermore. Because second service is going to come in now. So, I'm going to rush. Turn in your Bibles into the book of Colossians. Colossians. Colossians or Colossians. Anyone? Last way, later. Colossians chapter number 4. I'm starting a new teaching series today that I touched. By the way, for those of you who follow me on social media, you should have an idea what about to teach, right? What's the title? Ecclesia. Glory to God. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 4 and verse 15. The Bible says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. So this guy, they have church in his house. Now, verse 16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, you see, statistics shows that all the epistles were primarily written to the church. Never in time was it primarily written to an individual. Now, the word church here, all right, is from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. Now, ekklesia is a combination, is a compound word for two separate words. Ek and lesia. The E, of course, has a bar on it, so it's lesia. So, ek is E-K-K and lesia. Glory to God forevermore. Now, the word ek means the called out ones. The called out ones. That means the redeemed ones. The ones that are born again. We are called out from the world. Then, lesia means a gathering. So, that means church is incomplete without a gathering. So, there is no such thing as, well, I'm born again, I can have church at home. Brothers and sisters, you can't have church at home. You can't have church alone. You can't say, well, I'm just going to see T.D. Jakes, 3 p.m., then I see Keith Monk, then from there, I see Kenneth Copeland, and then I'll just praise the Lord and read my Bible, hallelujah. I even had a great time in church today in my house. No, brother, you didn't have no church. Because ecclesia is a gathering of the called out ones. That's why anything against the gathering of the saints is antichrist. Glory to God forevermore. Now look at this in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, and verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25 makes a powerful statement. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So God faults the manner of forsaking one another. There are some people, they are fond of forsaking the gathering of the saints. He says, don't be like that. He says, it's bad mannerisms. He says, as the manner of some people is. So now the question is, if God places so much value on church, on our gathering, that means there is something supernatural that we are yet to unravel. Our gathering is not just a social gathering. No. There's something supernatural. There's something spiritual. There is something of eternal value when we gather. You see, a lot of Christians are yet to understand that we are not just gathering for social reasons. No. Our gathering has a spiritual implication. It has a supernatural implication. And you see, until you begin to get a grasp of understanding of why we gathering and how it is that our gathering has an impact that is of eternal value, you may never prepare your mind to take all that is that the gathering is meant to give. For instance, there are people who assume that just because of the COVID, thank God during the COVID we had online services. But can I be honest with you? Online service can never replace physical gathering. Don't be fooled. Physical gathering, we will gather until Jesus comes. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be until Shiloh comes. Shiloh there is one of the nicknames for Jesus. It means the man of rest. So there will always be gathering. Why? Because of the supernatural and spiritual implication of ecclesia. When we gather, when you read through the scriptures, you see the supernatural impact that comes out of a gathering. So now, there is something about us that is supernatural when we gather. Let's look at it. Open to Matthew 16. It will give us a beautiful reason why God places so much emphasis on our gathering. Why does God place so much emphasis, so much honor on our gathering? In Matthew 16, a very popular scripture, perhaps you haven't read it in this light I want to show you today. In Matthew 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, that's Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So he was asking the disciples, what do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And people have different shades of idea, different shades of opinion about whom he is. Now look at verse 15. And he said unto them, but who say ye that I am? That means, hey, okay, enough of opinions from others. What do you think I am? Who do you think I am? Then verse 16, the Bible says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Then verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas. Simon Bar-Jonah means Simon, the son of John. His father's name, his surname is John. Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood does not mean flesh and blood in that literal sense. It simply means human beings. He says that means natural sense. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, here is a big thing you need to get in verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Petros. Petros is Petra. That means rock. Now he's talking about, Jesus is talking to somebody and is meaning, and is also referring to something deeper. Now he says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Which rock? the rock of revelation of Jesus' Christhood. The church is built on the revelation of the Christhood of Jesus. Now, he now says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades, the gate of grave, shall not prevail against it. Now, a lot of people call this scripture, you know, to pray futuristically by saying, well, the church is marching on, and that's beautiful. The gate of hell will not prevail against it, and that's beautiful as well. But in context here, Jesus was referring to his death. He says the gate of death will not prevail against the church. Now, Jesus, listen carefully, Jesus alone died. Jesus alone was buried. Jesus alone got up from the grave, physically speaking. But Jesus here helps us to see that his resurrection is going to be a supernatural influence that is corporate and not soloist. So now, why they saw a Jesus that was buried and rose up, Jesus is saying, guess what? It is the church I am building, and the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. But excuse me, Jesus alone died. So that tells you that he died alone, but he rose up as the church. That's why in John 12 verse 24, Jesus says that a corn of wheat abides alone, except that it is buried into the furrows of the ground, and that it will bring forth harvest of many fruit. In other words, Jesus was speaking metaphorically that, listen, I am the only begotten Son, I remain the only Son of God, but when I am buried, I will rise up with many sons. I cease to be the only begotten Son anymore. In other words, Jesus died alone, but he rose up as the church. He rose up with you and I. So when he says the gate of Hades will not prevail, he's talking about how that the grave cannot hold him back. Death can't hold him back. And he got up on the third day. He resurrected. He overcame the grave. The power of grave could not hold him down. So now that means the relationship between us as we sit here today, our gathering today, our ecclesia, our coming together, cost Jesus his life. Because his death, listen up, his death remains the foundation of Christianity. And his resurrection began the church. So that means, look up everybody, don't miss this. So that means our gathering, something is responsible for our gathering. There is a supernatural relationship that we share. The person sitting next to you has a relationship with you that is beyond blood. Have you heard this saying, blood is thicker than water? Well, I have an information for you to tell you that the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is stronger than blood. Hey, think about this. You just read what I saw to you. Jesus died, but he rose up as the church. So his death was necessary for the church to be born. And we have defined church as what? The gathering of the called out ones. Now listen, the relationship between you and your siblings. All that is required to make that a reality was for your dad and your mom to have a nice time in the other room. You know what I'm talking about. They were just having a nice time. And then they had you. And then they had your brother. And then they had your sister. So, naturally speaking, you are a product of pleasure between your parents. But listen, the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is not a product of pleasure. There is nothing pleasurable about driving nails in your hands. There is nothing pleasurable about putting a thorn that is full of, a crown of thorn on your head with whips on your back. There is nothing pleasurable about it. In fact, he prayed, let this cup pass over me. So the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you cost Jesus his life. So that makes it more important. That's why God places so much emphasis on our gathering. Why? Because our gathering cost him his life. So that is the supernatural thing about our gathering. So our gathering is not just for fun. So neglecting the gathering is to neglect the sacrifice of Christ. It is that grave. Praise God forevermore.
I said, praise God forevermore.
See, I have said this before in our teaching in Philadelphia that, listen, the relationship, and I repeat, between you and the people you come to church with, that you meet in church, because some people, they come to church and they just like, you know, some people, they just come to church, hi. Alright, then after church, they go away. No! There is something about us that surpasses natural relationship. I'll give you an example. There was a time, this is something Jesus demonstrated. Jesus was preaching good. Imagine the way I'm preaching now. I'm not aware I've been preaching before, and then you feel like, ah, this man did teach. I never felt like it before. Alright. Jesus was preaching good, and that's the best teacher ever. Rabbi. He was teaching powerfully. And one of the congregation stood up and said, ah! God go bless the mama we born you. See, the breast where you suck, God go bless him. And Jesus said, yeah. God bless the man, the woman through whom I came. But guess what? More blessed are the people seated here listening to me. Oh, do you understand that? Jesus is saying, listen, it is true that, yeah, blessed is the woman through whom I came, but more blessed are these people. Why? Jesus helps us see the superlative superiority of spiritual relationship above natural relationship. That means the relationship between you and the individual sitting next to you is stronger than the one you had with your blood brother and blood sister, except and only if that your blood brother and blood sister also are born again. That also means that if you're born again and your brother or sisters in the blood are also born again, the more reason why you should bond with them better is, number one, first, because that they are also born again. Did you get what I said? So the spiritual relationship we have is stronger. It's not hydrogen force. It's stronger than Van der Waal force. It's stronger than cohesive force. Is stronger than which other force in physics we did in secondary school? Covalent is stronger than covalent. It's stronger than electrovalent. If you are not a science student, I'm sorry, Alright? I'll take you in science 101. Alright. Someone is like, what is pastor teaching today? Okay, let's check it out. Open to Luke 11. Time is fast spent now. Now don't do me strong thing for this church. I don't even preach for 1 hour 30 minutes anymore. Okay. Let's go. Luke 11. And I'll go here now. We'll go fast. We'll go day faster than before. By the way, by the grace of God, our screens comes in Jesus' name. All right. So when we get the flask coin, now it's going to be more easier. Open to Luke 11 quickly. Luke 11 verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, he was teaching, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. You know, paps is the old King James word for breast, alright? Verse 28. But he said, do you know the meaning of but? It is true, however. Do you understand? He says, but he said, yeah, rather. Somebody say, rather. Do you understand English language? Do you know the meaning of rather? It's like somebody is saying, just like somebody is saying, yeah, I know God. And he says, rather, you are known of God. It's a brilliant semantics. And that's the same thing Paul did to the church in Galatia. You know, he was saying, after that ye have known God, or rather, known of God. So rather is you are correcting your statement, or you are about to say something that is superlatively superior to what has been said earlier. Is that simple enough? So a woman said, blessed is the womb through which you came. Blessed is the pap that you have sucked. And Jesus says, but, the Bible says, but he said, yeah, that means what you said is true. Blessed is the woman through whom I came. Blessed, yeah, blessed. Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, just saying, see, you see all these people, he was teaching when the woman stood up. He's now saying, listen, my relationship with you, all right, is more blessed than relationship with my blood brothers and blood sisters, than relationship between me and my mother. By the way, did you know Jesus had biological family?
younger ones, right? Come on now. Because some of you are listening, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. He wasn't a virgin. She didn't remain a virgin. Uncle Joe didn't spare her. Jesus had four brothers and many sisters. Strong man. Open to Mark 6, you see it there. From verse 3 down to 5, you see it. And by the way, Steph, let me show you another scripture quickly. Open to Mark 3. This is to tell you how Jesus, because you see, as a child of God, you have to realize that you are in Cornerstone Christian Center. Alright? This is a church. Somebody say, this is a church. Say it again. Say it again. We are a family. A strong family. Bonded together by a superior spiritual force. I just give you an example. Think about it. You know, I was meditating when I was preparing this message. And I said to myself, Jesus died, but he rose up as the church. So you and I died with him. We were buried with him and rose up with him. It is accrued to our account. So the death of Jesus was necessary for the birth of the church. His life was necessarily given up to birth you and I. For you and I to be called brethren. Brethren means from the same womb. So we all came from grave. We are product of grave. Now, it cost Jesus his life to birth the relationship between you and this person sitting next to you. Now, the relationship between you and your siblings at home didn't require the death of anyone. Your mom and dad were just having nice time in the other room. Kissing, pecking, touching, and then from there they gave birth to you. And then they had a younger brother. And then they had a younger sister. So, you, naturally speaking, the relationship between you and your blood brothers and blood sisters is a product of pleasure. But there is nothing pleasurable about going to the cross. Answer me, how pleasurable is death? Have you ever seen, did you see Jesus on the cross? Says, come on, give it to me, man. That only happens in Jet Li movies. Give it to me, man. No. The guy cried. It wasn't easy. That's the pain he went through to bet the relationship between you and I. So that means the force that is holding you and I together in this church is stronger than blood. Look at it in Mark 3 verse 31. The Bible says, there came then his brethren. Can you say his brethren? Natural brethren. That means Joseph, Judah, James. He has brothers. His brethren and his mother. And standing without, sent unto him, calling him. You know, the guy was preaching, alright, and then his family came up and said, you know, go and call him. Go and call him. Tell him his family is waiting for him outside. Now, look at what happened. In verse 32, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold thy mother, and thy brethren without speak for thee. Without means outside. That means they are outside the building. Imagine the way I am now, I'm preaching, and then my parents just drove down, alright, and then they now tell the hotel manager that, listen, go and call that guy preaching, he's our son, we want to see him while I'm preaching. That was the scenario. And look at what happened in verse 33. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He now asked the congregation, because the congregation was like, your mom is calling you outside, your mom. Imagine when I'm preaching and somebody now says, pastor, your mom is outside. Your mom, they've come to visit you. Today's visiting day. Your mom is outside. Look at Jesus' response. Because there are people who, any little thing, every weekend, they are going home. What happened? Pastor, my guy has finished. I have to go home. I am here. I have a Sunday service. No, I have to go home. It's because you have not understood the spiritual significance of our gathering. I have missed my mom for long. That's why they have not seen me for long. Listen, when I began this church, for 3 years, I didn't go home. The first 3 years of this ministry, I didn't go home. I go home once in a year. The only time I went home twice in a year was the year my younger sister wedded. I missed the introduction. Everybody was angry. You know how to sort things. I will teach you these things in leadership school. There are things in life that you sort out. Very simple. A friend is angry you didn't come for the wedding, and you say, you know what? Would you rather want me to come and send you 100K? Yeah. No, don't even, don't just send your money. Do you know what I'm saying? So when they were there shouting, you didn't come for, I said, okay, no problem. The next day, just to alert. Ah, we saw God bless you. The Lord increased you. Amen forevermore. I mean, imagine if I'm about to have a wedding and then my uncle is saying, you know what, Elijah, I'm more busy. Gone board. So much to show. Let him be 20 million. Okay, if he manage. Ah, I'll say, uncle, I about mommy and children. Everybody, tell them not to come. They should not come at all. Praise God forevermore. Who they are coming help? There are bills to pay, brother. Because now wedding day, they see, they don't see marriage. Glory to God forevermore. Let's go to verse 33. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked around about, on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Behold. Behold means, somebody is saying, see, open your eyes. That means there's something you are not seeing. He says, behold, my brother and my brethren. In other words, Jesus shows us the supernatural, superlative, superiority of spiritual relationship above blood relationship, except and only if your blood relationships also cumulate to spiritual relationship. Do you get the point? Except and only if your dad, your mom, your siblings are also born again. Otherwise, the relationship between you and the individual sitting next to you is stronger than blood. That also means, by implication, that your dealing with your blood brothers, your siblings, should first be on the basis of the spiritual relationship you have with them. In other words, the reason why you should be good to your blood brothers is, number one, first, because they are born again. Not just because of their blood. Hallelujah forevermore. And he concluded, he says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. You know, I was telling some of our church ministers one time. I said, do you know that when I was in the university in my year 3, I was pastoring the church of my father. You saw him when he came for Faith Life Conference. I started a church for the ministry in another place called Ajeba Mdele. During Obasanjo's strike, we had 8 or 10 months strike. See, listen, I schooled in Obafemi Law University in Ile-Ife. Ile-Ife is like Kefi to Abuja. It's 50 minutes drive. Guess what? I never went home. Why? My church members were not students. How would they feel when they say, good morning, church. School is closed now. So we have to close the church. It doesn't make sense. At one time, my dad picked on me and says, Chiwonikoni, are you the only pastor in this world? By the way, in short, that's where you will feed. And angrily, he stopped sending me money. I can remember vividly. Oh, I can never forget. All I had left was a big Bonvita and I had some Gary. So I would literally, that was when I learned confession. This food is blessed for my sake in Jesus' name. You know, I would say jokingly, I lay hands on this Gary and Bonvita, they go in me and they become shawarma. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, and can I be honest with you, something very powerful happened. Do you know what happened? When they came back from the strike, I was fresher. Oh. Gary and Bonvita. So when I get this, like, pastor, my food is finished, I need to go home. And then my hands have missed my siblings. Grow up. Hallelujah forevermore. See, the link between us is so strong that Jesus told us that if any of us is segregated because of his faith in his family, he should find the church as a place of more warmth family than even his physical family. Yeah. Because the family bond between us is stronger. Stronger. Look at it here now. In Matthew 10:29, The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake. Someone say, for my sake. And the gospel's sake. Say, for my sake. And the gospel's sake. Say, for my sake. And the gospel's sake. Jesus is saying, anyone that forsake father, mother, siblings, land, property, for my sake and the gospel's sake. Look at what he says will happen to them. In verse 30, he says, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Someone say hundredfold. Say it again. Hundredfold simply means full harvest, complete result. He shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses, brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. In other words, just saying, listen, if any of us is segregated or is alienated just because of their faith, their Christian faith, some of you could come from a Muslim family, and then your family is, you know, segregating you because you are a Christian. The Bible is telling us that you should feel more at home being a member of a local assembly than your blood relative. Because the bond between us is spiritual and stronger than natural bond. One of the things that will separate you, that will show that you are growing spiritually, is when you begin to grow and you can separate emotions from spirituality. Even in the world, there's something they call emotional intelligence. When your emotion is saying, but you know by spiritual understanding that this is more the truth. This is better done. I shared with our pastors when the church began, because I never knew Kefi existed. In fact, I didn't know there's a place called Kefi. I have to look for it on the map. There was a time my mom cried on phone. My mom. She said, you just left me alone. And then she was just crying. Then she asked me a question. She said, so when are you coming? I said, I can't leave my children. I can't leave the church. Then she makes it. She said, so the church is more important than me. I said, yes. She said, yes, I can see. I can see. No problem. You know now. She angrily dropped the phone. But guess what? She called back again. You know that kind of anger. And here we are telling you, so when are you coming? I said, you don't hungry. Why are you calling back again? What's that? But guess what? I was here for 3 years. It was the third year that I went home just to see. And when I finally got home, the way they held me like their life depended on me. If you missed me, look at your neck. Look at, you know. And all those little rascals, I was looking at them like this. Like our last bone. Our last bone is like, is as tall as this and huge. Like what you're doing is not just left us like that. I feel like. Amen forevermore. So you see, the relationship between us is stronger. The bond between us is stronger. A spiritual force holds us together. We are one big family. So don't walk in love, because understanding that we are stronger together. Look at this. I have 12 more minutes. Psalms 133 verse 1, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. Somebody say unity. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Draw together in unity. After service like now, all right, as you are walking out, you say, how was church today? How good to meet with you. Somebody comes with a car, say, oh, you are going that way. I can go and drop you off, all right? And stuff like that. You know, that it's unity, one family. You see a brother that, you know, you've been seeing that brother with that particular shoe for almost 3 months now. It's only that shoe he wears. And right now, that brother now has an induced bow leg. He wasn't born with a K leg, all right, but the K leg now is induced. You know what induced is? Why? Because the shoe now has eaten. So he now walks this way because his shoe has eaten. But you have like 8 shoes. Kilo finish here, what's there? You can just walk up to my pastor and say, excuse me, sir. The Lord laid on my heart that I should just do this and all that. And then you polish the shoe, make it clean. And then you hand it over. Or you go and get them a new shoe. We are one family. Somebody who is alienated for being a Christian, there are some in this church. They feel so much loved. They were alienated because of their faith. They should feel this warmth of a family that is more warmer than the biological family they have. There are some people who are from polygamous home. There are some, yeah, I know them, that they come to meet with me. I relate to them like father, because I'm like the only father they have. That's the way it ought to be. We are one family. We are a fraternity. We belong to the fraternal bond of God. The fraternity of the God kind. Do you know the meaning of brethren? Hebrews 2 verse 9 calls us brethren. It says Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Brethren means from the same womb. And what is the womb here? The dead. We died with him. We were buried with him. When he rose up, we rose up together with him into newness of life. Something holding us together. Listen, there's a supernatural connection that we have. And if we walk in love, you will see mighty things will happen in our midst like never before. That's how the early church did. They share things in common. They pray together. Some people, they have different friends, they go to church together. They have a friend, they go to mall together. They have a friend, they go to gym together. They have different friends for different activities. But no! The one with whom you do life with is the one you should come to church with. If you are here and your friend, so-called friend, is not here, you're not being a good friend. You should invite people. Alright? We should fill up this place, first and second service, overflow, shout amen somebody. We are one family. Look at it. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. He says, it's as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, somebody say there. Say it again. Say it again. He says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing and even life forevermore. So there is a blessing attached to our coming together. Don't forget where we began. Ecclesia, the gathering of the called out ones. Ek means the called out ones. Lysia means a gathering. So there is no church when there is no gathering. So when we gather, listen, this is the assembly of God. We all carry God on our inside. It's like, don't you understand how the Bible addresses us in the book of Hebrews 12? To the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, to the innumerable company of angels. Do you understand? We are heavenly pantheons. Oh, we belong to the heavenly pantheon. Not Black Panther. You are a heavenly panther. Let me use it to you. Let me just use a. It's even more derogatory, but maybe you understand it. We be wings. Now, garden of wings be this. Garden of God. Don't you understand? This is the fraternity of the God kind. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Oh, something bound us together. There's a spiritual force. Stronger than anything called blood. We are held together by the death of Christ. Our bond cost Christ his life. So we cannot for any reason undermine our spiritual gathering. This is an assembly of gods. When God is called King of Kings, who do you think is king over? You think he's the king of Atabalefi or king of... We are the kings that he is king over. Do you understand? King of kings, Lord of lords. So, Lord of lords. We are the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, God has no relationship with the unbeliever. They are alienated from the commonwealth of Zion. They are dead to God. You see, an unbeliever, he does not exist in the calendar of God. He's dead to God. That's why at salvation, we were awoken to the fatherhood of God. Our spirit cried, Abba, Father. We recognized it immediately. Of a sudden, we became heavenly panthers. That's why when we are addressed in the book of Hebrews 12, he addresses us along with our co-existors, those that live with us, in the innumerable company of angels, church of firstborn, to the God the Father, then Jesus. Those are our neighbors. Our neighbors are Jesus, God the Father, and then we have angels around, spirit beings, cherubs, seraphs. We'll be winged. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like Irumonle. And guess what? He now says, to the spirit of just men made perfect. That means, in this family that we belong in, are you listening to me? It's a spiritual family that includes Papa AB, David, Paul, Joseph. These are the spirit of men that has been perfected. That's the family we belong. That's where we eat breakfast. That's where we eat lunch. So you say, pass me the healing on the table. Pass you healing. Yeah, pass me prosperity. Hey, Uncle Jesus. Pass me the wine. Pass me the wine. That's where we belong. Shout amen, somebody. So we don't fellowship with demons. They are subject to us. They don't belong to where we are. We are a satanic of the God kind. Are you hearing me? Welcome to Ecclesia. The church of the firstborn, the company of innumerable angels, with the spirit of just men made perfect. Shout amen! Right on your feet, somebody. Glory to God. Lift your hands towards heaven. By the blood, we belong to Ecclesia. By the blood. Oh, we belong to the heavenly pantheon. We are associates of the God kind. We are partakers of the divine nature. Oh, do you understand? We don't belong to this world. Little children, ye are gods. And ye have overcome them. For greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world. We don't belong to this realm. The God of Moses is our father. Do you know the meaning of father? Abba. Greek says pater, that means the source and the sustainer. We look like him. We are his offspring. We have his DNA. Oh, what a family. Nothing stronger than this. See, some of you don't know, when we get to heaven, some of you are wondering that when we get to heaven, everybody will just, is a new, listen, in heaven, you recognize Pastor Adejo. You recognize Pastor Sandra. Ah, Pastor Sandra! Good to see you! When we get to heaven, because listen, that relationship will continue. It's an eternal relationship, stronger than blood, born together by the Spirit of God, and it's because Christ is dead. So we don't forsake the garden of the saints. Now you have a better understanding, right? Our gathering is supernatural. That's why supernatural things happen when we meet. Because see, it is spirit to spirit. We are drinking spirit to spirit. When we say pray in tongues, as you are saying, the other person is connecting like electric bulb. We are connecting. It's a big family. Shout amen. Father, we thank you. Lift your hands towards heaven. Just thank you. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Thank him. Supernatural. Supernatural. Hey, it's a new level. New level. I've taken over. believe that? Your finances that is dead come back to life. Your relationships dead come back to life. Your destiny that looked dark is coming back to life. Your health that is looking, that is stable, is coming back to life. Life. Say, tell me, I'm alive to God. You believe that? Come on, rejoice! Rejoice!
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call 234-8074-0785-66. We celebrate you.